Welcome to Grupo Aval's second quarter 2024 consolidated results conference call. My name is Regina, and I will be your operator for today's call. Grupo Aval Acciones y Valores S.A., Grupo Aval, is an issuer of securities in Colombia and in the United States SEC. As such, it is subject to compliance with securities regulation in Colombia and applicable U.S. securities regulation. Grupo Aval is also subject to the inspection and supervision of the Superintendency of Finance as holding company of the Aval Financial Conglomerate. The consolidated financial information included in this document is presented in accordance with IFRS as currently issued by the IASB. Unconsolidated financial information of our subsidiaries and the Colombian banking system are presented in accordance with Colombian IFRS as reported to Superintendency of Finance. Details of the calculations of non-IFRS measures such as ROAA and ROAE, among others, are explained when required in this report. This report includes forward-looking statements. In some cases, you can identify these forward-looking statements by words such as may, will, should, expect, plans, anticipate, believes, estimates, predicts, potential, or continue, or the negative of these and other comparable words. Actual results and events may differ materially from those anticipated herein as a consequence of changes in general economic and business conditions, changes in interest and currency rates, and other risks described from time to time in our filings with the Registro Nacional de Valores y Emisores and the SEC. Recipients of this document are responsible for the assessment and use of the information provided herein. Matters described in this presentation and our knowledge of them may change extensively and materially over time, but we expressly disclaim any obligation to review, update, or correct the information provided in this report, including any forward-looking statements, and do not intend to provide any updates for such material developments prior to our next earnings report. The content of this document and the figures included herein are intended to provide a summary of the subjects discussed rather than a comprehensive description. When applicable in this document, we refer to billions as thousands of millions. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. With us today are Ms. María Lorena Gutiérrez Botero, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Diego Solano, Chief Financial Officer, Mrs. Paula Durán, Corporate VP of Sustainability and Strategic Projects, and Mr. Camilo Perez, Banco de Bogotá's Chief Economist. I will now turn the call over to Ms. María Lorena Gutiérrez Botero, Chief Executive Officer. Ms. María Lorena Gutiérrez Botero, you may begin.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our second quarter 2024 conference call. I am here with Diego Solano, our CFO, Camilo Perez, Chief of Economics of Banco de Bogotá, Paula Durán, our Corporate VP of Sustainability and Strategic Projects, and other people of the company. Let me start with some ESG highlights. Today, to support the execution of our strategy, we are taking actions to lean and strengthen our management team at the first and second level, both at our main businesses and our holding company level. Juan Camilo Ángel resigned as CEO of Banco Aravivo after 30 years of service. Gerardo Hernández was appointed as his successor. Gerardo is the former Chief Legal Officer of Banco de Bogotá and previously served as part of the Board of Directors of Colombian Central Bank and as Superintendent of Banks. We also appointed Liliana López, replacing me as CEO of Corporate Development. Liliana has over 20 years of experience in the private and public sectors, most recently serving as CFO of Ecopetrol and Fenix. Also, in July, we strengthened our structure at the holding level with the creation of three new corporate vice presidents. The VP of Sustainability and Strategic Projects, led by Paula Durán, and the Corporate VP of Financial Assets and Efficiency, led by Jorge Cardán. Paula is the Corporate VP of Strategy and Sustainability at Corpcolombiana, and Jorge is the former Financial Superintendent. They both have more than 20 years of experience in the public and private sector. I am confident that the personal and professional qualities of our team will continue to strengthen our market position and help achieve our group of our long-term strategic goals. Now, I will invite Paula to go over additional ESG achievements during this quarter.
Thank you, Magdalena, and good morning to you all. First of all, I would like to congratulate Banco de Bogotá on its issuance of 500 billion pesos in sustainable senior bonds. Also, our bank presented the principles of responsible banking report as part of their adherence to UNEPIFI. This implies that all our banks will have plans to move towards goals in terms of climate change, gender equality, financial inclusion, and sustainable finance, among others. During this quarter, we received several recognitions for our advances in terms of diversity and inclusion. Grupo Aval ranked sixth in Latin America for its commitment in this area, and Banco de Bogotá ranked first. Puerto Colombiana was also recognized for its work towards closing the generational gap, and Porvenir successfully launched a job site for employability of senior citizens. After recent advances in environmental impact, Banco de Occidente celebrated 30 years of the Planeta Azul Prize that recognizes initiatives aimed at water preservation and protection. Also, our road concessions successfully implemented several biodiversity projects in more than 700 hectares, as well as solar energy projects generating significant efficiencies in energy consumption. In terms of our social impact, in addition to the programs implemented by our subsidiaries, we continue advancing in the Misión La Guajira program. Up to now, we have benefited more than 340 families, that is 3,500 people, with clean drinking water solutions as well as food security. Finally, I would just like to highlight that at Grupo Aval, sustainability is not just a commitment. It's a core principle that drives our every decision. We're dedicated to building a future where financial strength and social and environmental stewardship go hand in hand, ensuring our positive impact for generations to come. We continue advancing with determination towards our sustainability impacts and goals.
Thanks, Paula. Now, on the macro side, let me mention some relevant issues during this quarter. Inflation continues to trend down in July. Third, supporting our view of an our careful central bank that could raise passes, reducing the alternative rate from current levels above 6% and continuing to reinforce the banking sector and economic recovery. Economic growth has continued to be slow, and investment remains well below historical levels. The country's fiscal accounts remain under pressure, even after extending cut programs. The government is working on a second wave of spending cuts and considering a tax reform for financial laws, including surcharges to additional sectors while lowering the general corporate tax rate. Camilo, we further comment on this and we share our view on the economy.
Thank you, Madam Lavin. Good morning to all attendees. Economic activity has turned out better than expected at the beginning of 2024. It's annual growth of 2% so far this year to May, compared with projections between 1.5% and 1.8% for the year. The improvement has been influenced first by the recovery of the global economy, which has been reflected in a better performance of foreign trade. The improvement has been, secondly, in local context, better dynamics in sectors such as public administration, agriculture, recreation and utility, especially electricity, have also explained the positive surprise in economic performance. In contrast, more traditional sectors of the economy, such as construction, commerce, and manufacturing, maintain contraction rates at the beginning of the year. This is evidence of the current dispersion in sector performance. Growth in 2024 is likely to exceed the 0.6% of 2023. However, it will remain below that of the long term. A slow recovery in investment affected by low levels of confidence for both businesses and households, coupled with still high interest rates, has had a negative impact on the present, but has also reduced the outlook for future growth. The total aggregate investment rate as of March 2024 approaches lowest levels since the beginning of the series in 2005, that is 30% of GDP, which will have a negative impact on economic growth in the coming years. Thus, potential growth is now estimated to be between 2.5 and 3%, lower than the pre-pandemic estimate of between 2 and 3.5%. Nevertheless, some modest signs from the consumer suggest that the worst is behind us. The national unemployment rate showed an annual increase of just 2.2 percentage points in the first half of 2024 to 11.1%, benefiting from higher public and service hiring, which has compensated to some extent for job losses in sectors that were traditionally the engine of the labor market. In addition, we expect lower rates, household higher purchasing power as wages increase more than inflation and the exchange rate has revalued, and a reduction in the financial burden will allow for a change in the consumption cycle. This has been evident in the positive readings of input of consumer goods in the first part of the year. We have upgraded our estimate of growth for 2024 to around 1.75%, against the consensus just below that level. We will get the official numbers for growth in the second quarter later on today. In July, inflation within its downward trend, falling below 7% after being stuck just above this level during the second quarter. Also, the inflationary path will continue, the indexation of services, especially rent, the potential depreciation of the Colombian peso, and the increase in diesel prices will only allow inflation to reach the central bank's target between 2 and 4% until mid-2025. For the year, our forecast for inflation to trend towards 5.6%. The aforementioned macroeconomic balance has explained Banco de la República's caution in its process of easing monetary policy, where in July it completed 4 meetings with 50 basis points rate cuts. However, given the improvements in inflation and the convergence of expectations to the target, the pace of rate cuts is set to accelerate to 75 basis points soon. Furthermore, the forecast of lower rates at a global level reinforces the above. For the year-end, we expect the central bank rate to reach 8.75%. In terms of the external accounts, the country has seen a significant adjustment, with a reduction in the current account deficit to levels close to 2% of GDP. This can be explained by a combination of lower demand for goods sold abroad, especially inputs and capital goods, while the country has seen greater inflow of dollars from remittances and tourism. In net terms, this situation has resulted in a lower need for dollars, which has provided some support to the exchange rate. The other factors pertaining to the currency behavior are potential interest rate cuts by the Federal Reserve, the United States election, the fiscal situation, and local uncertainty. If rate cuts are delayed, the Republican Donald Trump wins the presidency, the fiscal situation deteriorates further, and local political demand returns, the exchange rate would tend to go down. For the time being, the aforementioned forces have found a fragile balance that has favored a flat exchange rate with an upward bias in the midst of a recession fears in the United States. On fiscal front, even though the government has straightened out its accounts with a significant spending cut, risks are still present and compliance with the fiscal rule is at stake, as indicated by the Autonomous Committee of the Fiscal Rule. For the remainder of the year, it is necessary to tax for tax collection to meet the established target, and for the government to restrain its spending in order to raise concerns about the sustainability of public finances. In any case, rating agencies are alert to any new developments, while the markets are already pricing a lower level for the sovereign rating. Fiscal risks remain for 2025 due to potential budget financing issues, with the need for the approval in Congress of a financing law and an earlier end to the transition period of the fiscal rule. As of today, details regarding the financing law are still limited. That sums up our economic view. Thank you. Back to you, Marina.
Thank you, Camilo. We firmly believe that the country's recovery needs to be driven by government policies that lead to a stronger investment, effective execution, and confidence of the legal environment and physical security. However, we believe that in addition to these foreign efforts, private sector initiatives will act to recover. We have set ourselves to continue and support the country's economy recovery by launching a group-wide plan to contribute to sustainable growth and employment generation in key sectors such as SMEs, housing, energy transition, agriculture, and the popular and solidarity economy. These sectors have immediate effect on economic activity and employment. We have committed to provide funds at preferential rates to these key growth sectors, ensuring strong risk management processes. We also continue our ambitious plan of more than 1.9 trillion in priority sectors, such as infrastructure, gas, agribusiness, and tourism. Before the end of this case of our research, let me go over the highlights of our financial results. The second quarter showed a stronger loan and deposit growth that allowed us to continue increasing our market share. Over the quarter, our bank's combined gross loans grew 1.8%, reaching a 25% market share by March of this year. Positive and asset quality improved relative to the previous quarter, and operating expenses remain under control. Regarding asset quality, it seems we have finally reached the peak in cost of risk and the delinquency for consumer loans. On commercial loans, the increase in delinquency has been milder than what could be expected in this cycle. We remain vigilant for potential signals, signals, or future expectations. We are currently designing an ambitious corporate synergies and efficiency plan, which we will launch over the coming months. I expect to provide new details on our following calls. Finally, the central bank continues to be resistant to speed up interest rate reductions. We maintain our view that the central bank can cut rates faster, reducing historical high real interest rates, which have resulted in a lower net interest margin than our initial forecast. Net interest margin on retained loans has benefited from the repricing process of loans. However, the adjustment made by the superintendency of finance to the formula used to determine interest rate cap has forced a steeper decline in credit cards, personal loans, and other targeted consumer lending products. On the other hand, net interest margin for commercial loans has been affected by competition, which puts pressure on spread, mainly in the higher credit quality corporate segment. As a result, net income to our shareholders was 204 billion pesos, and return on average equity was 4.9%. This result was obtained in the Colombian context of 10 banks out of a total of 28, incurring cumulative net losses of net, the worst figure since 2009. We expect the end of the trade cycle and consumer loans and the recovery of net interest margin will enable the banking sector to return to the profitability over the next month. To position our bank for upcoming growth and retain capital in two of our banks with this performance in this cycle, we examine the capital structure of Banco Occidente, Banco Popular, and Banco Avenida. Now, I would like to pass the call to Diego, who will give the details on our results.
Thank you, Maria Lorena. I will start on pages 8 and 9 with a few charts regarding the growth rate and quality of our loan portfolio relative to the rest of the Colombian banking system. For comparability reason, these figures are unconsolidated under Colombian IFRS as published by the Superintendency of Finance. On page 8, we continue to outgrow our competitors in all loan categories. This yielded by end of May, year-on-year market share gains up to 50 basis points in total loans, 108 basis points in commercial loans, 125 basis points in consumer loans, and 57 basis points in mortgages. On page 9, the quality of consumer loans appears to have begun to improve in the Colombian banking system, but commercial loans and mortgages slightly deteriorated. As mentioned in the past, our portfolio composition is skewed towards lower risk consumer products, resulting in a better credit quality than the system average. I will now move to the consolidated results of Group Ally under IFRS. Starting on page 10, assets grew 2.2% over the quarter to 317 billion pesos, accumulating a 6.2% increase year on year. Gross loans, our main assets, due to 193 trillion pesos, growing 2.4% during the quarter and 4.8% year-on-year. An 8% depreciation of the Colombian peso during the quarter had a positive effect on quarter-on-quarter metrics, contributing 1.2 percentage points to quarterly growth. Over the year, the peso appreciated 0.7%, having no material impact on growth metrics. Commercial loans and mortgages continued driving our nominal growth, while consumer loans resumed growth following two consecutive quarters of contraction. Commercial loans expanded 2.9% over the quarter and 5.9% year-on-year, with special appreciation contributing 1.8 percentage points to quarterly growth. Consumer loan growth during the year at a top 0.9% increase in the quarter. Payroll loans and our loans grew 1.6% respectively during the quarter, while personal loans and credit cards continued contracting 0.3% and 1.7% respectively during the quarter. Finally, mortgages grew 4.3% over the quarter and 10.8% year-on-year. We anticipate loan growth rates to rise later this year and into 2025 with the normalization of monetary policy, stronger GDP growth, and improvement in consumer loan funds. We expect our 2024 loan growth to continue outpacing the banking system. On page 11, we present funding and deposit evolution. Total funding increased 3.4% in the quarter, accumulating 6.8% year-on-year. Deposits account for 3.4% of our funding, growing 4.8% quarter-on-quarter and 10.1% year-on-year. Saving deposits grew 7.3% in the quarter and 15.8% year-on-year, increasing their share of our deposit mix by 169 basis points and 94 basis points respectively for these periods. High deposits to net loan ratio increased to 108%. On page 12, we present the evolution of our total capitalization, our CET1 shareholders' equity, and the capital equity ratio of our banks. Our total equity grew 1.9% over the quarter and 3% year-on-year, while our CET1 equity increased 1.6% over the quarter and 1.5% year-on-year. We're in the process of strengthening the capitalization of our banks to position them for stronger growth. Banco Occidente's second quarter ratio reflects $125 million carrying an important 1.45 notes issued on May 7th that added 135 basis points to its solvency. In addition, we recently announced issuances of 100 billion pesos in equity and 100 billion pesos in subordinated bonds at Banco Popular to strengthen its capital position. Banco Popular's unconsolidated solvency ratio was 12.3% for total solvency and 10.6% for core equity 1. These issuances will add approximately 1 percentage point to unconsolidated solvency. Finally, we are also considering a subordinated bond issuance for Banco RMI. On page 13, we present our yearly loans, cost of funds, spread, and NIM. Total NIM increased 5 basis points quarter-on-quarter to 3.4%. The consolidated NIM on loans was still at 4.3%. NIM on retail loans predominantly priced at fixed rates expanded 21 basis points to 5.1%, while NIM on commercial loans predominantly floated over IDR fell 18 basis points to 3.7%. The expansion of NIM on loans continues to be slow due to higher funding costs in line with shy central bank intervention rate reduction fee. In addition, loan rates have been pressed by a concentration of growth in higher quality, lower rate assets, and by changes made by the strengthening of finance in the formula used to determine interest rate caps affecting some credit cards and personal loans. We expect that the central bank will have room to accelerate its pace in rate caps as the year progresses, given the positive evolution of inflation, the current high forward between real interest rate level, and the recent reduction in the output for U.S. rate levels. This scenario supports our view of NIM expansion over the following quarters. Finally, continuing with the total NIM expansion, our NIM on investments increased to 0.2% in the quarter. Regarding our banking segment, the NIM on loans contracted 11 basis points quarter-on-quarter to 5%, still far below historic levels. This incorporates the NIM on retail loans that expanded 15 basis points to 5.7%, and NIM on commercial loans that decreased 9 basis points to 4.4%. The total NIM of our banking segment expanded 3 basis points to 4.2%, driven by the same trends impacting our consolidated NIM. and pages 14 to 16 represent several main portfolio quality ratios. Starting on page 14, the evolution of asset quality points to the end of the credit cycle for consumer loans, with PDL ratios and PDL formation peaking in the first quarter of 2024 across all products. PDL formation for credit cards and personal loans was the lowest in 7 quarters. 38 PDLs decreased to 5.8%, while 98 PDLs increased to 4.2%. Consumer loans PDL formation was for on a 30 and a 98 basis was reduced. Commercial loans and mortgages showed mild deterioration over the quarter. The information reflects an improvement to 38 horizon and a roll forward to 98 of a portion of commercial loans that became delinquent since last quarter. Finally, the annualized ratio of charge-offs to average 98 PLs was 0.64 times. On page 15, the share of our loan portfolio classified as stage 1 portfolio increased slightly over the quarter, mostly driven by a better performance in consumer loans. Coverage measured as the allowance for stage 2 and 3 loans and the percentage of stage 3 and 3 loans, that we thought we recorded to 37.4%, with coverage for consumer and commercial loans at 35.9 and 35.4 respectively. On page 16, as anticipated, the cost of use increased in the quarter. We expect a positive trend over the following quarters, even in a more favorable local macro scenario. Cost of risk net for consumer loans increased 104 basis points to 5.56%. Cost of risk for credit cards and personal loans substantially increased quarter on quarter, falling 563 basis points to 9.6% and 253 basis points to 12.9% respectively. The lower cost of risk in commercial loans resulted in improvements in credit rating of previously rated corporate clients that have had over time a consistent risk payment behavior. This explains improvements of 36 basis points in all the cost of risk and 61 basis points for commercial loans during the quarter. On page 17, we present net fees and other income. Gross fee income grew 2.3% quarter on quarter and 4% year on year. Net fee income increased 0.9% and 1.9% respectively during these periods. Net pension and severance fees grew 2.7% quarter on quarter and 7.3% year on year due to higher mandatory pension fund management fees. Wealth banking fees increased 2.1% quarter on quarter and 3.6% year on year due to higher transactional volume. Income from the non-financial sector contracted to 4.5% in the quarter, driven by some concessions that are transitioning from the construction phase to operation. Finally, on the bottom of the page, the quarterly increase in other operating income is explained by one, derivatives and FX losses that are negatively correlated with the high returns from the non-financial sector, two, net losses on sale of investments and OCI realization associated with fixed income portfolio management, and three, comparison with our seasonally high dividend issued by our subsidiaries during the third quarter. On page 18, we present some efficiency ratios. In line with the cost control efforts, total lower expenses increased 0.9% quarter on quarter and 1.2% year on year. General and administrative expenses grew 3% quarter on quarter and 3.1% year on year. G&A expenses continue to be driven by operating taxes and deposit insurance that accounts for 38% of total G&A expenses. Cost of assets for the quarter was 3.7%, including 4 basis points quarter on quarter and 9 basis points year on year. Our quarterly cost to income increased to 54.7%, mainly due to a lower other operating income described on the previous chart. Finally, and patient premium percent on net income and profitability ratios. Attributable net income for the quarter was 204 billion pesos or 8.6 pesos per share. The return on average assets and return on average equity for the quarter were 0.6 and 4.9% respectively. And before passing it back to Maria Lorena, I will now summarize our general guidance for 2024. We expect loan growth between 7.5% and 8%, with commercial loans growing between 9% and 9.5%, and term loans growing between 5% and 6%. NIM is a 3.4% area with minimum loans on the 4.5% area. Minimum advancing seconds in the 4.5% army with minimum loans in the 5.25% army. Cost of use net of recoveries in the 2.3% army. Cost to assets in the 2.7% army. Income from the non-financial sector of 80% of last for 2023. As an income ratio between 20% and 25%, and finally, we expect our 2024 return on average equity to be between 6% and 6.5%. I pass it back to Maria Lorena.
Thank you, Diego. Finally, let me mention that we are focused on sustainable growth and expect that a better macroeconomic scenario in the second half of the year will support better profitability going into 2025. So, maybe we'll have questions or comments.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press star one again. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. Our first question comes from the line of Julian Oske, Davivienda Cortores. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for having my question. First of all, I would like to confirm the guidance.
Yes, that, you can barely understand what you're saying. Could you speak a little higher, please?
Okay, can you hear me now? Is it better?
Go ahead, but it's very difficult to understand.
Okay, so first of all, I would like to confirm the guidance in terms of NIM and ROE. And my second question is regarding the impact of Banco Popular due to the equity issuance that made that was announced yesterday, and what will the participation that Grupo Aval would have to take in that sense. And the third question is regarding if you already have any view about 2025 results, so a little bit of what is the call or what are the expectations for 2025.
Could you please repeat your first question?
Okay, could you confirm the guidance?
Yeah, our guidance is six and a half. And then, as you might remember, we give out two different sorts of guidance for the banking segment and then for our total numbers, given that they also consolidate Puerto Colombiano, which has mainly interest expense and doesn't really is a deal in intermediation. So, in our banking segment in the 4.5% area with minimum loans of the banking segment in the 4.25% area. That implies a total mean of 3.75% area with minimum loans in the 4.5% area. That's your first one. Then, regarding Banco Popular, the issuance that are supported by Grupo Aval, as we've done it in the past, that's what we expect to see. We will be answering those or suspecting them soon. And finally, our year 2025, here we can only be directional, as Maria Lorena mentioned, and throughout the call we emphasize, we see a positive trend mean and cost of risk. And I returned to the normal numbers from the central bank somewhere at the middle of next year. If we had a positive score results, we haven't yet given out a quantitative guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. And our next question comes from the line of Nick Dimitrov with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi there, good morning. I have a couple of questions and apologies, the connection seems to be pretty bad, so I don't know, we might have already answered this, but I have a question about your capital allocation decisions. So it became clear that Banco Popular shareholders have agreed to raise 100 billion pesos yesterday. Can you walk me through the rationale for that? Because I know that the entity has been struggling for a year and a half, but when I look at capital, it's 18%, 18.2 to be exact. At the same time, this is the strongest or the best capitalized subsidiary within the group. At the same time, there's banks such as Banco de Occidentes, whose capital is significantly lower. So I was just kind of wondering about the rationale to raise equity for Banco Popular when it's the strongest capitalized entity within the group, and why not Banco de Occidente? So that is the first question. And the second one is on, I understand that there is also a decision to raise 100 billion pesos of Tier 2 capital, again for Banco Popular. So I was looking to get an update in terms of where you are in the process of raising the Tier 2 money. Thank you.
Could you go over the first question just to make sure I got it right?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Could you repeat your first question to make sure I got it right?
Yeah, so the first question is the rationale for Banco Popular to raise money when optically it looks that it's well capitalized.
Sorry, number three. Let me answer the first two and then you can answer the third one. The decision to strengthen Banco Popular is decided, number one. We look not only at the consolidated numbers, but also at the unconsolidated numbers. And the only bank where there's a material difference between those numbers is Banco Popular, and that's the reason when I went through the numbers, I was paid out for Banco Popular. Then Banco Popular has a combination of two things happening with cycles. Number one, it's been using money, therefore it's been destroying capital over several periods. And then we see a very strong potential for growth moving forward. So we're also capitalizing it because we're replenishing part of what was lost in the process, and also we expect management of the bank to be able to execute a much more aggressive growth strategy that will be requiring that sort of capitalization. Then moving into Banco Occidente, Banco Occidente is somehow different than Banco Popular because they've been quite profitable throughout the cycle. We will continue strengthening the bank if further required, if demanded by growth. At this point, the use of capital seems to be the right amount. But as we've done in the past, we see our banks being able to outgrow our expectations, we can go back and review that plan. And then could you repeat the question?
Yeah, the second question is regarding 100 billion Colombian pesos of Tier 2 capital for Banco Popular. Where are you in the process of raising the money?
Oh, okay. I think that was the previous question. We are ready to support it internally from the group, so we do not see a market execution risk in that issue.
Okay, thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. Ms. Maria Lorena Gutierrez-Botero, I turn the call back over to you.
No, thank you. Thank you to you all to be with us in this call. And as you know, if you have questions, comments in the coming months, you can call us or write us. And until you in the next call, have a good day.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining. You may now disconnect.